What do you think so far of what you're seeing at Health IT Day?
It's a very exciting time for health information technology. We have two major industry-changing events going on that are probably once-in-a-lifetime experiences. We have health insurance reform, and we have the High-Tech Act. Mm-hmm. So the challenge of really getting health information technology into the clinical environment, using it for clinical and public health purposes to improve quality, is just tremendous, and that challenge is finally really engaged.
I think a lot of people got caught up when they were thinking about what was going on with the health care reform, insurance reform debate, in a lot of the hyperbole that we heard in the media, and I don't think much attention was paid either within the government or outside the government about what the IT implications were that were in there. Can you talk about that?
It's an interesting question, because I think the administration articulated the fact that that health IT was needed for health insurance reform. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say, too, that there are some aspects of health reform that are necessary to advance health IT. Mm-hmm. We're really on the cusp of getting technology into a place where it can be really useful for the kinds of outcomes I talked about. Mm-hmm. If you think about how many providers actually use electronic medical records, it's less than 20%. Mm-hmm. How many use them well to actually affect quality outcomes? Less than 10%. Mm-hmm. We have some work to do to get out there. Mm-hmm. And part of it is about the way in which providers behave, the way in which information is shared in a secure way, but shared so that it can accomplish some of these other outcomes. Mm-hmm. And we really are really just starting on the curve of implementing the kind of change that will make those outcomes practicable.
What is happening, or what needs to happen at the agency level to be able to then go out to the private sector and encourage them to do what you would like to see them do, which is boost that 20% and 10% a lot higher?
Well, I think there are a number of things. One of them is that I think that there's a real opportunity for some network effects in terms of getting enough people, providers, health data online in a secure fashion that it will attract others to go online. Mm-hmm. What is the killer application for health IT isn't really out there now. What's happening now with high tech is there's an effort to sort of push an industry into electronic form. Mm-hmm. But what we really need to do is to pull providers in, because they see the benefit, they see the advantage of getting that information in electronic form versus in paper form. And mm-hmm. We haven't really crossed that threshold yet. So one goal is to try to make, for example, the Nationwide Health Information Network be a potential attractor. Securely exchange information, but have enough accessible that when a provider needs something, they can go online to get it. When they're authorized to do it, they have the patient's consent, they want to get that information to treat that patient, that they can get it online and get it quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think getting to that network effect with the Nationwide Health Information Network is really important mm-hmm. to start to pull more people in. Mm-hmm. Another thing that the federal agencies can do is really align themselves to push in a coordinated direction. And there was a recent announcement about a task force, about governance of federal agencies, for example. There are a couple different parts to that. One part of it is that programs like public health programs need government advocates, because mm-hmm. if government doesn't advocate for them, they don't necessarily get done. And public health is an important part of health IT. But there's another part, too, which is that the federal government plays a huge role in almost 40% or more of healthcare in this country. And mm-hmm. so if the federal government is pushing, if it's using the standards, if it's testing against those standards itself, that's going to be a tremendous driving force in terms of making the industry come along. And mm-hmm. I think that's the other great thrust of the federal government in terms of making this happen.
One theory that I've heard I'd like to get your take on, and that is that if the Pentagon and VA can get the lifetime medical record for vets working and functional, that as many vets as go into the private sector for care, that will attract more private sector providers to using their own forms of medical records the same way, because they'll say, wow, now we see firsthand how easy this is. You have a take on that?
Yeah, tremendous power there. I mean, the Department of Defense provides a lot of care through the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
The Veterans Administration provides a lot of care through the private sector. And so having those two agencies align to advance the standards and pursue this health information infrastructure in a common way is going to be tremendously powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The lifetime medical record is very encouraging, and the recognition by both the DOD and the VA of using the Nationwide Health Information Network standards and approaches in terms of connecting that, both connecting between each other and connecting with the private sector, is hugely encouraging in terms of, you know, getting over the hump here and moving that infrastructure forward.
You mentioned before that there's not one killer app, so to speak, at bringing a lot of providers on board. Is that on the horizon, or is there a potential for that to be developed, or are we still even in the way back phases on that?
It's interesting, because from just a pure application standpoint, I don't still see that killer app. You know, some might say personal health records would be that. I still think that there are complexities with individuals managing their own data that are going to make the curve for that still somewhat slow in terms of uptake. But, you know, thinking a little bit out of the box of the killer app, you know, I do think it's about the data, and I think it's about access to the data. And that, so with a little bit of leniency about what an app is, if you think about getting personal health information, health information online and accessible, that is a kind of killer app and can have some of the network effects that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge there, of course, is that we have to treat these information very carefully, and confidentiality is such a critical concern. There are technologies to work with that, and I think that seeing that when people recognize that they want to have their provider have access to their electronic record, and that they need to, there needs to be some infrastructure to do that, people are very accepting of the fact that there can be networks in the background that are allowing for the secure delivery of that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are all kinds of other uses of those data too, and there are concerns people have when they're used in a commercial. Those data are used in a commercial way. I think the high tech legislation has helped with some of that, but there are also great opportunities to use those data for greater purposes. How do we learn from the care we provide?
Mm-hmm.
How do we compare different treatments? So that we know which ones actually work best. A lot of health is still anecdotal. The research cycle for getting learnings from clinical trials into production in healthcare is a very long one.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity of the electronic technology is to really shorten that life cycle and to the betterment of all of our health. I come from a public health background too, and I think, there are, you know, obviously people have concerns about information being shared about them. I feel that there are as many sensitivities about ensuring that information is available. If you, heaven forbid, had drug-resistant tuberculosis, I think it's important that your health department can help control that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some great opportunities there. There are still some challenges and sensitivities that people need to work through. But I think, as I suggested before, we've really finally engaged on this issue, and,
mm-hmm.
and now the opportunity is to move forward.
The privacy issues and security issues here are really unique, I think, compared to other types of records, because I can't think of a benefit to the greater good for everybody in the world to know my social security number. But if I have an illness and that is rather unusual, there is some greater good to people not necessarily knowing that Francis Rose has it, but that a person has it, a male of a particular age and ethnic background and so forth. That is of the greater good. How do you balance those two, the privacy and security, with the desire for healthcare providers to be able to glean this information to potentially help save somebody else's life?
It's obviously a very complicated question, and there are different answers, I think, for different parts of that endeavor. So one part of that is research, and how do we get characteristics of treatment and population characteristics and use them in a way that can advance the learnings of medicine and healthcare. There are procedures for that that are relatively tried and true in clinical settings where there are boards that evaluate the way in which those data are handled, that ensure that they're handled in a secure way, and I think have had a good track record in terms of the protection of those data.
Mm-hmm.
Another facet of the problem is public health. And public health, as I suggested, has needs at times to have information to protect the health of others. In fact, public health has had a great record in terms of protecting those information and ensuring that they aren't used in inappropriate ways. Interestingly enough, some of the challenges to those data come more from, for example, congressional subpoena than they come from hackers and the like. So I think there are still things we can do in that regard to ensure that sort of third category of trust of data that are being used for these different purposes that need to be protected from really the principal ways that patients have concerns. Commercial use of their health data, the use of their data to change the way they may or may not be, have health insurance, or ways in which their employer might inappropriately have access to information in that regard. And these are things that are addressable. Obviously, it is different, as you suggest. When your bank account becomes accessible inadvertently, you can get a new bank account. You can. There are remedies to that. When health information is made more generally available, the remedies aren't as clear. It's harder to put that back into the bottle.
If you and I have this conversation a year or 2 years or 5 years from now, what will happen in that interim that you will look back and say, we've been successful, we've done a good job, we've hit benchmarks that I think are reasonable and so forth?
It's a really challenging question, and I'll tell you why. Because everyone wants outcomes, and we don't want IT outcomes. We don't want process outcomes. We want health outcomes. Unfortunately, there are some steps we need to get to get to those health outcomes. And in many respects, those steps will come with a more mature information infrastructure, not a less mature information infrastructure. So while we're on the cusp of really making the first steps in implementing information technology in clinical care, we realize that we have to get to sort of that next generation to take advantage of some of the outcomes. So that's part of the challenge. I think there are important processes we have to consider to make sure we highlight those things that are accomplished in this time, so that while we're going through sort of the adolescence of information technology, it looks a little less gangly and a little more attractive, and to do well and publicize them. Obviously, we also have to be vigilant, and we have to be vigilant to ensure that there aren't such security issues or events that can really adversely flavor the experience for people. I think that's all doable, but those are the kinds of things we have to track through this, you know, growth period.
Dr. John Lutz, CGI Federal, thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, Francis.